Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Finally, March, and that means March Madness. The Badgers, UW Badgers, are 23-5 this season. They're currently sitting in first place in the Big Ten Conference. So maybe what can we expect from the team this year? We're talking college hoops today with our guest, Scott Ritchie. He's a college basketball sports reporter at the News Gazette based in Champaign, Illinois, and the University of Illinois has got a pretty good basketball team, too. We'll get a preview of what this year's brackets could look like and what we can expect from the Badgers, and I hope you'll join in. Do you plan to watch the 2022 NCAA tournament? Which team will you be following closely? Are you a fan of the women's NCAA tournament? You can join the conversation. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address ideas@WPR.org, WPR.org. Scott Ritchie, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Let's start with the latest news regarding the women's NCAA tournament. It's an effort to be more inclusive. I know the major changes have been made. What's going to be different this year?
Well, I mean, just from, you know, the very big picture view, the NCAA women's tournament can actually use, you know, the March Madness name this year. And that seems like a sort of a very minor thing, but you know, until, you know, this year, they hadn't been able to use that phrase. I mean, that had been exclusively, you know, only for, you know, the men's tournament in terms of, you know, any branding, you know, for it. So, I mean, that's a, might seem like, you know, sort of insignificant, but it just, it means, you know, the women's tournament is, you know, kind of on par with the men's tournament. And that's maybe not going to be like a case of, you know, in terms of TV viewership, but the NCAA is now treating it, you know, as an equal, which it wasn't. And we, everyone that kind of followed along last year, as, you know, both tournaments, you know, happened, you know, in a bubble, so to speak, NCAA really skimped on the women's tournament and just did not provide the same level of facility or, you know, just even, you know, swag bags maybe weren't on par for the women's players as for the men. And some women's, you know, basketball players got that all out there on TikTok and shared it on social media, and we got to look at kind of how, you know, they're being treated, and NCAA has made some changes to at least put, you know, both tournaments on, you know, more equal footing, which should have happened a long time ago, but at least it's in place now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about media coverage for a minute. Could you compare media coverage of the men's and women's NCAA tournaments?
Well, those are things that really aren't maybe on, you know, the same level. There's significantly, you know, more coverage for the men's tournament, and there's a lot of factors that go into that. Just staffing at, you know, say newspapers, like,
yeah,
it was an issue. I mean, because those staffs and sports staffs have shrunk over, you know, the time, and there's not as many people to devote to all of the sports, and just, you know, using, you know, the News Gazette as an example, because that's where I work. Like, I'm kind of it when it comes to covering the University of Illinois, and we have to put our resources where they're used the best. And, you know, the men's team, men's basketball team at Illinois is ranked in the top 25, should get a pretty high seed for the NCAA tournament, could still win a Big Ten title. That game in Madison tonight kind of has a lot to do with that. And then the women's team finished last in the Big Ten. And, you know, we sort of know what our readers are looking for, and that's, you know, coverage of this men's team. And that's where we have to allocate the resources, a.k.a. me. So that's maybe not equitable, but there's also nothing that we can really do to change that because we also have a business to run. But on the board for women's basketball for the U.S. Basketball Writers Association, which just kind of started this year, or at least maybe putting more emphasis into it. So we're working to figure out a way to get more coverage for the women's game, you know, on the national stage, and whether that's, you know, focusing, you know, getting more attention on our postseason awards, sort of trying to make it equitable, you know, including the presentation and the awards ceremony. So it's a work in progress, but there are people kind of trying to push more coverage for the women's game.
Yeah, just as an aside, I think when you think of high school sports, I think local papers, local press, and local radio and TV do a good job of covering the girls' basketball versus the boys' basketball, for example. I see pretty even coverage in our Madison papers, at least.
Yeah, and I would say that's very much the same here in Champaign. And we have our preps coordinator, Colin Likas, spearheads the vast majority of our coverage, but he does a great job of hitting not only different boys and girls sports, but they're trying to get coverage not only here in Champaign and Urbana and the towns closest to us, but, you know, also into our entire coverage area. It's a tough job, and he's done well with it, but
yeah.
This time of year, we got high school postseason play, and, you know, I've been out to some girls sectional games, and I'll be out at some boys sectional games actually tonight. So, you know, I think we do a great job with preps, but I'm probably a little biased.
Well, I think in general the local press does a very good job overall with it. Let's look at the men's college basketball. Last Saturday was the first time in history that the top six college basketball teams in the AP Top 25 lost on the same day. Oh, what the heck? What happened between Gonzaga and St. Mary's?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was a crazy Saturday. But and to be fair, you know, those top six teams, they all lost on the road. And for the most part, lost to teams that are also pretty good. And, you know, college basketball this season, there's a bit more parity. Like, there's not just one or two teams that are like, okay, these are the super elite and no one's going to be able to beat them. Now, there are a few that are sort of in that top tier. You know, I think there's six or eight that have maybe the best shot at winning an NCAA tournament title. But the next tier of the, hey, these teams are pretty good, there's a lot in that tier. And St. Mary's is good. And I know Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference, I mean, gets a lot of maybe negative attention from just the regular college basketball fan because, you know, Gonzaga's number one, but they play in this weak conference, and it's really not as weak as some people think. You know, St. Mary's is also ranked in the top 25. It has been pretty good for, you know, a really long stretch here under Randy Bennett, and they've just had the misfortune of being in the same conference as Gonzaga. But there's a lot of teams in that next tier of college basketball, and it's made for a fun season because there's been a lot of results that make you stop and be like, wow, what happened here? So I think it's good for the sport, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it is too. And as a matter of fact, I don't think it made any difference in the top, at least the top two in the AP top 25. I think Gonzaga and Arizona remained the top two teams in the poll that was released yesterday.
Yeah, and really the only changes were, you know, both Baylor and Duke jumped up a pretty fair amount because, you know, as top 10 teams the week prior, they didn't lose at all. And they got a couple wins. And it's kind of funny, though. Arizona didn't get any first-place votes, stayed in second. But Baylor and Duke also picked up some first-place votes that had previously been for Gonzaga and were third and fourth. But Arizona had enough votes in number two that kept them in that spot.
Yeah. And Wisconsin moved up. They were 13th and went to 10th.
Yeah, it was also a case of, you know, on a week where a lot of top 25 teams lost at least once, Wisconsin, it kind of took care of business. So they got bumped a few spots, which makes for, you know, a top 10 matchup tonight in Madison between Wisconsin and Purdue, which all eyes of, you know, Big Ten country will be on that game.
I feel really fortunate. I have season tickets.
Yeah, well, I'll be trying to watch that one while covering a high school boys sectional semifinal. So,
well, after beating Minnesota and then Rutgers, which was a monumental task for any top 20 team this year, I think Rutgers beat everybody who was ranked except for Wisconsin at home. So it's that alone for me was a good telling. You know, it told me that, well, they've got some spunk, and they're going to keep going hopefully a little bit further. Well, we're going to keep talking about the NCAA tournament, and I hope you'll join in with your questions as we move along today. Who do you think's going to win? What questions do you have about the structure of the tournament? You can give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@WPR.org. ideas@WPR.org. We're going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Scott Ritchie, baseball, basketball sports reporter at the News Gazette in Champaign, Illinois. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to Sports on the Ideas Network. Talking about college basketball on the show right now, Larry Mueller here. It's finally March. That means March Madness for the men and the women teams in this country. We're getting a preview of the Madness with Scott Ritchie, college basketball sports reporter for the News Gazette based in Champaign, Illinois. So do you plan to watch the men's or women's women's NCAA tournament? Is it a tradition for you? What's your favorite team? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email to WPAR.org. WPAR.org. Love to hear from you. Well, Scott, we got Selection Sunday coming up on March 13th for both the men's and the women's NCAA tournaments. maybe you could talk about how Selection Sunday actually works. And I was kind of chuckling as I asked that question.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Well, I guess, let's see at this point.
Yeah,
two weekends ago, the selection committee did release sort of its, if the tournament starts today, here's our top 16 teams. So we got a preview of that. But what it comes down to it is, next week, as more conference tournaments are played and then finished, the selection committee, they'll meet several times a day, several days in a row, and come up with the field. And obviously conference tournament winners get an automatic bid, and then it comes down to picking the at-large teams, where a number of factors are taken into account. And as things have sort of developed in college basketball, like advanced metrics and analytics have played a larger role in that process. And NCAA has its own, the net ranking, and that's not the end-all be-all, but it plays a fair role. And then there's obviously the human element, and with the initial release of these are the top 16 teams right now, there was some surprise that Illinois was considered number 12 team and a 3 seed, just because based on their entire resume, there might have been maybe a better team to fill that final three seed line. But the committee did say that what Illinois had kind of dealt with this season, based on the number of injuries and illness and players missing games, that they took that into account. So, I mean, the numbers are the numbers, and you can't fudge those, but the way the human element plays a factor into the the selection of those at-large seeds, those at-large teams. We won't know until the until those teams are selected, and then everyone can just kind of pick apart, you know, the final teams that got in and who was left out, and you know, that becomes the argument of the day until, you know, the games get started, and then everyone kind of forgets, you know,
yeah,
what they were upset about, and then just enjoys the basketball.
Oh, you're right about that, but it does, you know, stretches incredulity a little bit here. You know, you think, okay, Wisconsin beats Purdue at Purdue. They have a better record, and yet Purdue is ranked higher than Wisconsin, and people just scratch their head and say, how can that be?
Yeah, and that's where the advanced metrics and the analytics come into play, because Purdue has better numbers in that regard. Purdue has the number one offense in the country right now. Their defense is not nearly as good, but offensively, they're way ahead. They're even ahead of Gonzaga. It was, I mean, Steven, just the eye test tells you that they run good offense. Wisconsin's just advanced numbers across the board aren't as high, and you know, they've gotten, you know, I don't want to say it's a problem, because they've obviously won a lot of games, but they've won a lot of close games, and that's great, because winning games is what every team sets out to do. But even like in the net rankings, margin of victory plays a role in how high you're ranked, you know, on those rankings, and Wisconsin doesn't have, not always, you know, doesn't have a great margin of victory, despite winning 23 of 28 games so far.
Well, they won, they're 14-1 on games that were decided by 6 points or less. So that, to me, if I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, well, there is a tough team. 14 out of 15 times they've won by 6 points or fewer. But yeah, it doesn't seem to work that way.
Yeah, and it seems counterintuitive that, you know, a team that has found a way to win all of these games sort of in the tough moments, which is, you know, a very big part of making an NCAA tournament run, because it's not all blowouts in the tournament, that they wouldn't be, you know, perhaps a higher seed. But it's just, I guess, the way it is. I mean, I'm not sure there's a great argument for it, but Wisconsin's got itself a 3 seed right now, essentially, and you know, if they beat Purdue again tonight and then take care of Nebraska, maybe win the Big Ten tournament, and I think that they could jump, you know, to that, at least to a 2 seed would be my. I don't think that they'll get a 1, just because the rest of their data points maybe don't come out as strongly as other teams, but 2 seeds, you can't shake a stick at it. I mean, it's not bad.
No, that is for sure. Well, that's you're asking for a pretty tall order there to win all those games coming through. But you know, it's going to be interesting just thinking about the tournament itself. Looking ahead for just a minute, I got to believe Johnny Davis is going to shoot 100 free throws. Because the way the games are called in the tournament are different than the way they're called in the Big Ten.
And he already gets to the free throw line a ton. I mean, he shot, like, Wisconsin played in Champaign in January, and I think he shot 15 free throws in that game, and some teams don't shoot that many. and that's a big part of his game this year. Just getting to the basket, and if he doesn't make the shot, really, he gets fouled pretty regularly, it seems. And yeah, the whistles tend to get a little more frequent in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they do indeed. I think one of the issues, and maybe we could talk about that, you were kind of getting at it a little bit earlier. You've got every Division I conference. Some are obviously much better than others, and there's always it seems like every year in one of the quote-unquote lower conferences in terms of ability, There's a pretty good team at the start. They won their turn. They won their league, but then they get upset by, like the team that finished seventh or eighth in its league catches fire and beats them. And so you have to take that team into the tournament. Is that right?
Yeah, if you win the conference tournament, you get the bid, and the regular season title means nothing at that point. And that's the life of a low and mid major team. And there is always maybe one or two that's like, if you put those in the tournament over like the eighth best team in the Pac-12 or something, and like it could make for a much better tournament, but. It would have to, the committee would have to value, those mid-majors more. And there's a lot that goes into an NCAA tournament resume. And, those low mid-major conference teams, like, they don't play the type of schedule, obviously, that a high major program does. Don't have, the opportunity to get as many quad one or quad two wins. But just in terms of interesting basketball, there've been some teams left out over the last, forever that could have juiced up the tournament.
Yeah, and here we are talking about, 64 teams, is it? 68 teams. And out of how many possible? I mean, that it's counting, that's a pretty high percentage of teams that actually make it into the tournament.
Yeah, 68 out of 358 now. That second number keeps growing as teams move up to D1. So it's about 19% of all college basketball teams make the tournament. And I like the format because the conference tournaments are just like the appetizer to the NCAA tournament because every team in the country has a chance.
Yeah.
But it's what you do with that chance that makes a difference.
Yeah, and there's a year like when Virginia was number one, and who did they lose to?
UMBC, first ever 16-1, which was it was great. I remember watching that game, just sort of dumbstruck that it's finally going to happen. Like I never thought I'd see a 16 beat a one, but UMBC sort of broke the seal there, and it's not unrealistic to think it won't happen again. I think maybe we just had to see it happen once to be like, okay, yeah, this could be a thing.
We could actually do it. To what extent do you think gambling plays in the tournament itself? And I mean the interest in the tournament. You can hardly find a business. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating here, but Every place that I know of, at least, and it plus every bar and so forth has, you can get in the tournament and predict who's going to win and all that, and maybe win some money.
I think that's a huge part of it, and as sports gambling has sort of become more popular nationwide, I think that's just going to even maybe elevate more interest in the tournament for that reason. And I remember back in high school, one of my friends and I, we started a bracket pool, and I went to a high school with about 500 students, and we had almost a quarter of the school in our bracket pool. And this is on the record, I won't say whether any money changed hands, but you pay attention to some games that you maybe wouldn't otherwise, or if you maybe don't even really follow college basketball that much, but you pay attention to the NCAA tournament because beyond just a basketball tournament, it's an event. That first Thursday of games is an event, and I may or may not skip some college classes
and
watch basketball at 11 a.m. on a Thursday morning.
And I'm wondering about work productivity in offices around the country on that first day.
Well, yeah, and I assume it goes way down. And that's a side benefit of my job is that I am a college basketball writer. So if I've got, you know, split screen watching four games at a time, it's just part of the job, really.
Yeah, you get to do that, and you get to have an excuse to do it. Most of us don't have that.
Yeah, several years there covering Illinois, I mean, that's how I took in the tournament, because they weren't making it. But you know, last year they got back in, they'll be in again this year. So my casual tournament watching has changed just because I've got to focus some actual energy on my job and, you know, covering Illinois. But that's okay, too. It's being at the NCAA tournament. I mean, my first was last year, so obviously it was different because of sort of the bubble situation and all of that. They tried to put it on during the pandemic, but I'm looking forward to this year maybe being a little bit closer to normal.
You know, Marquette this year, I mean, they have really come a long way under their new coach, but they're sitting at 18-10. Do you think they will make the March Madness?
Yeah, I think they will. And I mean, they're projected right now in most places sort of as, you know, in that 8-9 seed range. And 18-10, I mean, the overall record doesn't look as good as some other teams, but they've got a lot of really good wins, including one against Illinois. I mean, it was up in Milwaukee in mid-November, and that was a really good win for Marquette. But you know, once they got to, you know, Big East play, they went on a stretch there in, you know, January. They got, you know, beat Providence, beat Villanova, beat Xavier, Seton Hall, beat Villanova again to start February. I mean, they've got the quality of wins to keep a seed, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. Well, let's look at Illinois, and let's look at Wisconsin. How do you think they're going to fare this year in the tournament?
I mean, it all comes down at the end to matchups. And, you know, last year, the Illinois team was probably better, you know, than this year's team. And they lose in the second round to Loyola Chicago. And Loyola put together just a terrific game plan, really took Illinois out of everything I wanted to do offensively, frustrated them, and got the win. And it was a season where, you know, there was talk of, you know, Illinois, you know, potentially, I mean, they had the number one seed, so maybe making, you know, a Final Four run. But, you know, this year, Illinois, I mean, they've got the pieces. Now that everyone's healthy again, kind of showed it Sunday, their win at Michigan, just that offensively, they got so many options. You know, Kofi Coburn's the most physically dominant big man in the country. They've got shooters around him, Alfonso Plummer, Trent Frazier, Jacob Grandison, Andre Cabello, now that he's back after missing 14 games between, you know, some concussion issues, and then, you know, he tested positive for COVID, so missed a couple more. Like, he's looking like himself again and just terrific with the ball in his hands. So they've got all the pieces to make a run. Kind of the trendy Final Four pick right now, even, again. But we saw how that worked, you know, last year, and it is in the second round. Wisconsin, as long as I have Johnny Davis, like, that's meant a lot, you know, this year. And he's a big reason why they've won 23 games and could clinch at least a share of the Big Ten title tonight against Purdue. But just the more Tyler Wall progresses, and Stephen Krauk, and the more he progresses, like, it could be enough for Wisconsin to make a run of its own. They have to keep winning those close games, though. I mean, you mentioned 14-1 in those close games, and that means they're right on that line of could have gone the other way. So just kind of have to keep up that close game magic.
Yeah, I can think way back when Wisconsin made the Final Four, years and years and years back, when we did not have a team that probably was shouldn't have won, but we have one player who got really hot. This was Dick Bennett's team from way back. I have one player who got really hot and couldn't miss threes and just took them right to the Final Four. So there's probably going to be a little of that again this year, don't you think? There's going to be some team that there's going to be a player on maybe in a couple of teams that just get hot at the right time.
Every year. Just thinking back, you see it every year. Just thinking back, I guess it's been almost a decade at this point, but like Steph Curry just dragged Davidson on its NCAA tournament run, because no one could slow him down. Even last year, Oral Roberts makes the Sweet 16 because, Max Asemus gets hot. Kevin O'Banner, as well. So, it's part of what makes the NCAA tournament great is just, these individual performances.
Yeah, by
a team, to maybe heights that they didn't expect.
I remember Wisconsin had a pretty good team and went up against Steph Curry and his team. And Steph Curry, I don't know, he didn't shoot 100% of threes, but it was
pretty close.
But it was pretty darn close. Dennis from Two Rivers has a pun for the show. He says he prefers to watch sports at home because sitting in the bleachers at sporting events brings people to tears. Since the bleachers are set up in TIERS tiers. Oh, man.
That's a dad joke right there.
You're right. That's a dad joke for sure. Well, there's going to be no joke. Who do you think? Last year Baylor won the national championship. I think they're the same as Wisconsin. They're at 24 and no, they're 24-5, so they're not quite as good as Wisconsin. What can we expect from the defending champs? And what do you think about Baylor?
Well, I think what they've done this season after losing four starters from last year's championship team has been impressive because they didn't really miss a beat. The one thing that could hurt them is they lost sort of their glue guy, Jonathan Chamwa-Chachwa. Just does all the little things, rebounds, plays hard. I mean, they call him Everyday John. That's his nickname. And also because his real name is very long. he's out for the year now with a knee injury. But they've got a really good freshman in Kendall Brown. And then, again, kind of similar to last year's team, just some terrific guard play. James Akinjo, Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer, different guys than last year, but turns out Scott Drew, he can coach him up a little bit.
He's
built a self-sustaining program there. I wouldn't pick Baylor to win.
Who would you pick? He's thinking.
I would have said Gonzaga. Except, maybe if I just didn't watch Saturday's Love St. Mary's, I still think that, but the recency bias is man, that was tough. For a team that scores just a ton of points, St. Mary's took them out of everything. I really like Arizona as well. I got a chance to see them in Champaign. They came into town and beat Illinois in December, but what they've done there under first year coach Tommy Lloyd has been impressive. He turned
them into a champion team for sure. And here we are out of time. Oh my gosh, Scott, thanks a lot. Fun talking with you today, Scott Ritchie, sports reporter at the News Gazette in Champaign, Illinois. Our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Hey, stay with us.